This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast. This podcast is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. The coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're only available online. Check them out at www.avsfam.com. After finding themselves in a playoff spot after a long, long run, the Avalanche gave it away with two disappointing games, and now they find themselves head-to-head with the New Jersey Devils. To say that this is a must-win game is silly because they're all must-win games, but in the case of this game, we really needed this. We needed morale, and we needed the fans to see that the Avalanche are still in this. We may have had a couple bad games, but we're going to come back around and we're going to play good hockey, and that starts with the top line, the top six forwards, and the top four defensemen. Gabriel Landeskog may be the captain of your Colorado Avalanche, but the face of the Colorado Avalanche is Matt Duchene. The heartbeat of the Colorado Avalanche is Matt Duchene, and he's been showing up of late. The very best way to start a bounce-back game is to go and score in the first minute of the game, and that's exactly what Matt Duchene did. He didn't do it by himself. He had plenty of help from his line mates, and if you know the game well enough, you know that you can go back like Riker did and find out exactly what happened. There was a lot of good sticks poking at the puck and getting a turnover, and then Nick Holden came down the left-hand side and put a pass right on the stick of Matt Duchene, who caught it on his backhand side, made a quick move, and made the goalie for the New Jersey Devils look pretty bad. Calvin Pickard is already a fan favorite with the Colorado Avalanche fans, and last night he upped his stock by pitching his first ever shutout. This wasn't the flashiest of shutouts that you're ever going to see, but it was the kind of solid goaltending that we need. It's nice to know that we have that beyond Riley, and Calvin Pickard is only going to get better. I think that the future of the Colorado Avalanche starting in net is in a really good spot right now. I do, however, think that we're going to probably send him back down again when Bear is good to go. I don't think that we're going to start the next season without Calvin Pickard in net in some fashion. I'm guessing it's going to be as a backup, but you never know. Sometimes we have to make trades for money, and sometimes we do things that are the best for the team, even if it's not the most popular opinion. I don't want to see Vardy go, but if he did, I feel like Calvin Pickard could hold the fort down. Another fresh face that's making a comeback is Big Z. He spent a lot of time in San Antonio getting his game together, particularly his game away from the puck, and last night he showcased that he's learned. He's ready to give this another shot, and I think that Patrick Roy is ready to give him another shot. I imagine we'll see him for at least 5 games, if not 10 or 20, and if he does well, he's going to be on this team for the long haul at this point. Pairing him with Boschman is a really good idea. Boschman happens to be the rookie whisperer. And while Zadorov isn't a rookie in the NHL, he is essentially a rookie with our team. He's going to have to play like a rookie and earn his spot in the lineup. Chris Bigra has been on the radar of many hockey aficionados for quite a long time now, and last night he got his chance to touch NHL ice for the very first time. I guarantee you that Bigra has rehearsed this in his head 1,000 times, and while it might end with him getting a goal or an assist or a huge hit or making a great play in the game, really what you want to do in your first game is not suck, and that's exactly what he did. He didn't suck, and he wasn't exceptionally noticeable. A couple of points that were of note, though, were the quickness with which Bigra gets rid of the puck. He doesn't hold on to that thing for long, and most of his decisions are good decisions. That's a good thing when you're trying to get the puck out of your zone, which has been the Achilles heel of the Avalanche for many, many years. An honorable mention goes out to Chris Wagner, who has been scratched for the last 14 games and has done his part to stay in shape, stay game ready, and get out there on the ice and make an impact when he can. He didn't get a lot of chances to do that last night, but he also didn't mess up. Again, he didn't suck. To make room for new faces, we need to say goodbye to old faces, or at least put them on waivers, which is exactly what we did with Nate Ginnon. Now, I know many people don't like Nate Ginnon, but he hasn't always been put in the best of spot to shine, either. He's held the fort down while our younger players have gotten their game together enough to come up and give it another try. To the best of my knowledge, Nate Ginnon has cleared waivers, and it's likely that he's going to be assigned to the San Antonio Rampage, where he will serve the role as a mentor for many of the young players that we have down there. And while no player wants to be the guy who got sent down to go mentor young players, it is better than getting a job with your brother-in-law laying brick or whatever might happen to somebody like a Nate Ginnon. Hockey's a rough sport, and when it's over, it's over. You need to have a game plan, and if you can start to get that game plan together as you walk off gently into the sunset helping younger players, that's probably the best scenario for somebody like a Nate Ginnon. But for the time being, the Colorado Avalanche have decided to play the hand of young talent, and we're going to see how that plays out. So let's do a quick recap so we can set up the next big decision that I imagine the Colorado Avalanche are going to have to make. The Colorado Avalanche just called up two defensemen who are likely competing against each other, Bigra and Big Z. Big Z stands at 6'5" without skates. He's about 6'8" with skates, which makes him a really big body, and he can use that body to knock people down without taking penalties. I like it, I think we need it, and his big shot isn't going to hurt him either. We have Chris Bigra, who is a solid defenseman with some offensive upside. He knows when to jump into the play, he's pretty smooth under pressure, and he gets the puck out of the zone with a quickness. But just when we're getting used to that idea and seeing what these guys can do, the Condor cometh. Eric Johnson won't be hurt forever, and when he does come back, he has a spot on this team, no doubt about it, which means that somebody else doesn't. Is this a case where the young guys played well enough to bump somebody like a Zach Redmond back down to the minors? Or are we going to see somebody like Chris Bigra not quite be as good as he needs to be every single night to stay on the team and bump him? questions like this are best solved in the deep end of the hockey knowledge pool, and for that, we go to one of our favorite people ever. He is the A-est of Jays and the grand poobah of BSN Denver for the Colorado Avalanche, AJ Hayes. Give me your general impressions then, man. What'd you think of that game?
I thought it was a good game. Number one, I think New Jersey sucks. So everything I say, you have to take with a grain of salt about how well guys played last night.
Because
New Jersey does not ice very many NHL players. That is not a good team.
Right, like if this was a video game, we had it on the easiest of levels of difficulty.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's a joke, dude. Like, that's, ugh.
But hey, I'll take those games, man. We need those. Those are confidence builders.
Yeah, well, and to see them actually beat a team like that, you know, they got smoked at home a couple weeks ago by Calgary. That was really discouraging. It feels like they have a hard time beating not good teams.
Right, we talked about this. They played to the ability of the other team. In this case, yeah. they tried to. They almost did, but then they pulled it together.
Well, and last night, I mean, they definitely did work. So
they did, right? There was a couple moments, a couple brain farts where I was a little worried, especially when it was 1-0, and we'd pretty much been dominating, but it's still just a 1-0 game. So any bad bounce, any stupid penalty, any John Mitchell turnover, any of that.
Yeah, John Mitchell turnover. There were a handful of them last night, too.
It's a weird thing, man. Him and Tanguy both just kind of work in cycles. Like, for a couple of games, they impress the hell out of me. And then for a couple of games, it's like their joints aren't working right, or they're just not able to reach or make the move. Like, their brain's still there. It's all working. But maybe these guys are just seeing the age thing coming in a little bit on the physical. I don't know. All right, man. So talk about the new faces for me last night. Don't start with Pekarov, though. Let's start with, well, Wagner's kind of a new face. He hasn't been in the lineup for a while. So what's up there? We just need the body, or we're just trying to give him a carrot? What's going on? Yeah, I mean, why does he come in all of a sudden? I didn't quite get the math on how he enters the lineup.
I didn't either. I feel like Grigorenko's played well. I certainly didn't think that he deserved getting scratched, given that some of the best games he's played all season have come in the last week. So I didn't understand. When it comes to Waugh and Grigorenko, I typically don't understand. I kind of just let him do his thing, and I'm just like, whatever.
I mean, you're exposed to a lot more than I am, especially the practice side. Maybe there's something there. Maybe he's not putting the effort forth in practice that Waugh thinks he should, and therefore a message sent.
I'd be really surprised. Grigo is one of the last guys off the ice every day. Like, he busts his ass in practice. The same guys are always the last guys off the ice, basically. It's almost always Duchesne, Grigo, Martinson, and Wagner, and Nate Ginnon.
Well, that kind of makes sense, minus the Duchesne part. I mean, I get it. He's a hard worker, but you basically just listed everybody who's trying to keep a spot on this team right now, and then Duchesne.
Yeah, well, he's easier to get an interview because he does get off the ice, but he's usually one of the last five or six players to leave consistently, one of those guys. Unless he's got something else going on that day, he's almost always out there. Anyway, point is, Wagner was in the lineup last night. He played okay. I didn't love his game. I don't think he played poorly in any way. I don't think there was any of that going on. I don't have any complaints about anything that happened last night with him on the ice. You know, they created some opportunities. They could have had a goal or two. So that's good. That's exciting. I don't know. He's just all right for me. You know, Wagner impresses because he's got that speed, and he's able to kind of turn it on whenever he wants. And that's kind of one of those flashy things that jumps out at you when you watch.
Right. Especially when there's a big hit on the other end of it, that helps a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got the kind of game that it's a simple game.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, honestly, if he didn't suck, he did his job, is how I look at it.
Yeah.
And sadly, you might disagree here, but that to me was the criteria for the first game from Bigras. I thought that if he didn't suck, that was success, and anything on top of that was gravy. And to me, he didn't suck. He was all right. He looked nervous. He looked a little freaked out.
Definitely.
But I don't know if like he gets rid of that puck in a hurry, and I don't know if that was nerves or that's his game. But if that's his game, I like that for getting the damn puck out of the zone.
Oh, he makes decisions immediately. That should be who he is a lot of the time.
What else is on his resume, man? What should we look for as we see him get his chance?
I mean, basically everything you saw last night, I think, is what you're going to see with Chris Bigras' career. You saw quick decision making. He skated pucks out of the zone when he had a chance. He jumped into the play to get involved. He struggles in the corners with the physicality sometimes. He can get a little roughed up.
Should we expect to see him making a move towards the net in an offensive role, or is he just kind of a defenseman who isn't bad, like a two-way defenseman, basically? Somebody who can play a little offense, play a little defense, but isn't super strong on either side.
I would say expect more two-way. He will produce offense, but it won't be like... I think when you talk about offensive defensemen, Avs fans have kind of gotten accustomed to Tyson Barrie.
Right.
There's that guy. And what you see in Tyson Barrie, you don't see very often. There's not a lot of guys who attack like he does. That's what makes him so effective, is that Barrie attacks the other teams. He carries the puck in, and he does, you know, he's a lot like Erik Karlsson in that way. I hate to make that comparison because Carlson's on a completely different level, but he's very attack oriented. Whereas Bigras is going to get points. His points will be because he made good, solid decisions. He made a great outlet pass that sprung a guy for a breakaway or a 2-on-1, or he read the play or whatever. He's going to be a guy who makes a lot of great stretch passes over the years. He's going to be our Duncan Keith, I think. Like, I don't say that with people thinking he's going to be Duncan Keith, but he's going to be that guy that can make the home run pass better than just about anybody else. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot to get excited about. He's a good, smart hockey player. It's going to make a lot of great decisions. And his game is going to be harder to appreciate than a guy like Zadorov, who goes out and he just hits people. You know, he uses his enormous reach to make great plays with his stick. And he's just a...
Do we need to talk about John Scott? Is that what's going on here?
No, I mean, we don't know 100% sure what's going on with that deal yet. So
let's do talk about that really quick, and then we'll get back to the other guys. So what the hell is with John Scott and the goddamn All-Star game? Why is this a thing?
What do you mean?
Isn't he being voted into the All-Star game? It's like a
He got voted in. Yeah, as the captain.
How does that happen? Is this the power of social media, or yes, maybe the downside of social media? I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the novelty of it, but is this really doing what the NHL needs to have happen for an All-Star game?
It's what happens when you're stupid and you decide that fans should decide who should be in the game.
I don't know, man. I'm equally on both sides. Like, I think it's stupid as hell. And at the same time, I'm like, but I appreciate silly more than anybody else I know. And this is silly. This is fun. So maybe it's actually a breath of fresh air. I don't know. I don't understand how that even gets started. How does that start? You know, like, how does this even come up? One guy tweets it and then it gets retweeted by the right guy. And there we are. He's in the All-Star game.
These things happen, man. Anytime you let the internet decide, you're at the mercy. You know, that famous story a couple years ago when Mountain Dew was trying to name a new flavor. You know, they let the internet decide what to name the new flavor, and the top winning name was Hitler Did Nothing Wrong.
I'm not surprised.
Right. So it's like, so he goes, you know, it was like Hitler Did Nothing Wrong, and I think the next one was Fapple, and so on and so forth. Like, they were like, the top six names were all ridiculous names that 4chan had decided to hijack.
They never pulled the trigger on those, I hope.
Yeah, no, they gave it up.
Good. That's what they should do.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, like, this is what happens when you let fan votes and you let the internet decide things like this. Somebody's going to hijack it and be like, oh, let's have a good time with it. So
I want to say I hate it, but I don't. I'm entertained. I like it.
Same. Like, I don't give a shit. If the NHL isn't going to take the All-Star game seriously, they shouldn't expect everybody else to. They shouldn't get upset when something like this happens. Like, they put all of this into place. So for this to happen. They made their bed, so.
It sucks to be John Scott, though. I'm sure that he's a little bit amused, but also kind of, I would be a little bit kind of put out by it. Like, he knows he's not there for any other reason, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
And for John Scott, you know what? John Scott's an awesome guy. So, if I'm him, I give a middle finger to all the people who want to make jokes. I go to the All-Star game, and I have a good time.
Right.
I enjoy it.
I think he should go around like threatening to drop the gloves with people just to scare him, just to have more fun with it, just put his stamp on it. Not actually beating anybody up, but just going around like being a thug. That would be entertaining to me.
Yeah.
No, and Stefanelli just got traded again.
What? So it's gone three now?
Yeah.
What is this trade then? It's John Scott for Elliott and Tenardi. Is that right?
Yeah. So John Scott and Stefan Elliott to Montreal for Jared Tenardi. And then Stefan Elliott from Montreal to Nashville for Victor Bartley.
Holy hell, that was quick.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody got better today.
Yeah, I don't get that one, but I wouldn't. I'm not that deep in that end of the pool, man. I don't know what the hell is going on with that. I'm just entertained by it.
None of these guys are impact players.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at Elliott forever, and clearly that didn't work. And you know what? I like the decisions being made, by the way. As long as we're getting on that, like, I think that it was time to do what they did with Ginnon. I think everybody wanted that, and I'm not a Ginnon hater. I think it was time, man. How do you not give these other guys a chance now?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I have been one of the loudest, most vocal anti-Nate Ginnon on the roster people for, like, 3 years, so...
I think he might actually be a good thing, though, down in the AHL. I mean, from what I hear, he's a guy who's very well-liked and a good guy to sort of be a rookie whisperer. So maybe he'll do that for some of our guys down there. If he even ends up in San Antonio, I don't even know if that's a thing yet.
I don't think they're going to send him there, man. I think they want him to stick around just in case something goes wrong.
Really?
Well, yeah.
How does waivers work then? I thought that we said, hey, we're waving goodbye to him. I know that's a bad joke, but
they waived him. But they don't have to necessarily send him down for 30 days. They don't have to send him anywhere.
So he just kind of sits in limbo, and if we need him, he comes back. Otherwise,
yeah,
start thinking about the afterlife.
That's it.
Oh, sucks to be a hockey player sometimes. Then, so we have Big Rob here, and we have Big Z. I see them both getting a chance, but I wonder, are they competing? Because EJ will come back, right? And when he comes back, something's got to happen. And if Big Rob and Big Z are playing well, then is it Redmond? Like, what does that scenario look like to you?
Everybody's competing right now. I mean, outside of your mainstays, your top four, your established top four, everybody is competing for a spot right now, because beyond Beauchemin, Johnson, and Holden and Barry,
right?
Those last two spots, earn them straight up.
That's a curious thought, man. I'll be curious to see how that goes. I hope, like all hell, that our young guys step up right now. I'm not mad at Redmond. I think he's a great guy and everybody loves him, but I think we might be better having a Big Z in the lineup. And if I can put his shit together, then that might be a better option too.
I love the idea of a Bigrob Zadorov third pairing, or even Zadorov Barry and Holden Bigrob third pairing. I mean, one of those
interesting.
One of those combinations, I'm all for doing that. I would prefer Zadorov really. I liked him with Beauchemin last night. I liked him with kind of the veteran presence that can kind of calm him down and kind of keep him under control on the ice. But when EJ comes back, it's going to be tough to justify not putting that top pairing back together.
Beauchemin and EJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, you can make scenarios for all of it, but I don't hate Holden and Barry together. I thought they've been doing pretty good together.
They've been great. I mean, they've really gotten a lot out of both guys with that pairing.
And I feel like Barry is starting to excel a little bit where maybe he had stumbled before. And I hate it when people talk about slow starters and all that, but I don't know, man. I mean, maybe he is that guy who gets better the closer we get to the playoffs, assuming we can never make the playoffs again.
I mean, he definitely did have a slow start. He had a rough start to the start to this season, but he still has games, which, I mean, we could go back just a couple of games where, you know, like last night he played great. He was awesome. But I don't think he was very good the last couple of games before that. Like,
and he could be situational. I mean, every team brings a different challenge, right? And maybe he's just not, he doesn't have an answer for every challenge. But against a team like, like last night, he had a lot of room to move and he could do his fancy little dangles and skills and all that. And I don't know, man, I guess there's other teams that maybe that just doesn't work as well for a guy of his size. Because he's not a huge defenseman, especially not when you have a Big Z in the lineup or Eric Thompson.
Well, and he's... I think the Avalanche, I think what I'm trying to say, the Avalanche showed their limitations against good teams like Chicago and Tampa Bay. When they're firing on all cylinders and they don't have Eric Johnson in the lineup, when your best defenseman is Tyson Barry, I think we saw exactly how high they could go. You know, we kind of saw the issue there because Tyson Barry and Nick Holden are not going to stop Patrick Kane when Patrick Kane is on fire.
Right.
You know, it's they're just not that pairing. They aren't those guys. So
Which of our defensemen would you put on Patrick Kane?
But EJ and Boschman easily. I'd use them as the guys down the line. You hope that it's EJ and Zadorov.
I mean, but Kane's not a big dude. He's just so goddamn elusive, and he's smooth, man. He really is. I want to hate the guy, but goddamn, is he good?
I don't have any problem hating the guy. He's a great hockey player, but he's scum. So,
yeah. So, how far are we on EJ? Have you heard anything?
He was skating full bore yesterday. I didn't talk to him or anything. I really can't imagine he's not back. If he doesn't play in Columbus tomorrow, I fully expect him to be back for Winnipeg on Monday.
Gotcha. So, given your access, I was wanted to ask you, how do we get picks in that? I thought for sure I'd heard that Wallace said Barley was going to play, and then suddenly it was picks.
He said
I get that he can change his mind, but what happened there?
Well, he said he was asked the question immediately after the Tampa game, and he said if I had to do it right now, I'd say Barley because I thought he played well.
Mm-hmm.
But last week he had said that Pickard would play either against Tampa Bay or New Jersey, depending on how things went.
Mm-hmm.
Because Varley just needs a rest. He played a lot of games in a row. He'd started a handful of games in a row, and Pickard's a good quality guy for the backup spot. You should be able to turn to him a little more easily than Waugh has. I think he's riding Varley just a touch harder than he should be right now.
Yeah, well, with Bear out too, I imagine that switched things up, but I don't know. I mean, what do you do from here? I mean, sooner or later, Picks has to be on the team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something that'll happen at the end of the year. But with the trade deadline coming up, it's certainly an interesting question. Bear needs to get healthy. Saw him last night. He's out of the boot. That should be good.
What a crappy way to get hurt.
Yeah. Hopefully he comes back soon.
Yeah, and I'm not putting that on him. I mean, that shit happens. That's how everybody warms up at a fucking hockey game. So.
I mean, it's just one of those things, man.
All right, man. So I was going to touch on one more thing, and you kind of touched on it too. Are there any trades that in your mind make sense before the trade deadline for the Avalanche? And they don't have to be blockbusters either. Just tweaks, this and that, here and there.
Yeah, they have to do something about the 50 contracts. I would like to see them try and package a couple of their guys, some of these defensemen that they've got just a glut right now. You know, between Redmond and Gannon and Bodnarchuk, and now you throw in Zadorov and Bigron. It's like, oh my gosh. Okay, guys. Like, you know, and Stewart's going to be healthy at some point, and it's just too many defensemen. They need to do something to clear that logjam out a little bit. And it shouldn't be very difficult because it's a lot of expiring deals. But I mean, we just saw Jared Tenorti just got traded for two guys who were on waivers in the last 3 days. So that's the kind of deal that I think they should be making.
So it's going to be long shots, or it's going to be draft picks probably, or I don't know. I guess just guys who are just like they are, but somebody else hoping that a new scenery helps the case. I don't know.
I think the Habs have the perfect blueprint for what I'd like to see them do. You know, you take like a Redmond and a Gormley, and you flip them for one guy that you like who might be able to help that a team is looking to get rid of. You know, maybe like a Jared Cowan in Ottawa. You know, somebody that's on the outs with their current organization, but might still be salvageable.
And what would you be looking for in skills or physical makeup?
Anything, honestly. Any guy. I think Jared Cowan just because Ottawa wants to get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't know the guy well enough to even speak to it, but it seems like a bigger body might still be good on that.
Yeah. Jared Cowan's a big guy. He was a top 10 pick a few years ago, and it just hasn't worked out for him for the Sens.
Like first round, top 10 pick?
Yeah.
What the hell happens to these guys, man? That's amazing.
I mean, look at Duncan Siemens.
True. Yeah.
Duncan Siemens, another guy that I would keep an eye on for the Avs to look to move at the deadline.
I don't think he's ever coming back up, so they should do something.
Exactly. Oh, man. I didn't know Zadorov played 20 minutes last night.
Yeah, I saw that. He put a big minutes in. I think Bigrad didn't get nearly that, but.
Oh, no. No, he only played 14.
Well, I mean, Big Z, this was a planned event, right? He wasn't playing well, especially without the puck, and he was losing defensive assignments all over the place. So they sent him down, and I guess this is where we do a little measure and see if he actually learned anything.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
He looked a little lost here and there last night, but overall, I thought it was a really good game for Big Z.
I really liked what he had, what he brought. Only a couple of things that I would have corrected, but outside of that, liked his game. Thought he was good.
Oh, man, I think that Walsh should have him drop his stick and pick it up 50 times in the next practice just to get that down.
Oh, my gosh, no kidding, huh?
That was funny.
The best was when McKinnon passed it to him after he dropped his stick. And it was like, what are you doing?
That, my friends, was the powerful AJ Haefeli, who, while under the weather, still showed up with the game face on, ready to talk hockey. Kudos to him and kudos to you for checking out this podcast. If you want to know more about AJ Haefeli, check the show notes and you'll find everything you need about him there. And if you want to follow this podcast on iTunes, go to iTunes and search for ColoradoHockey.com. Or you can just go to the website and click on Get It on iTunes. Either way, you're going to get the best we have to offer for podcasts, including the future of hockey, every Avs player ever, game podcasts, in-between episodes, and whatever else comes to mind. This show is brought to you by Absfam, absfam.com, for the coolest hockey shirts you won't find anywhere else. Three new hockey shirts are on their way, including a Landy, a Varley, and an updated Colorado hockey shirt. Be sure to check them out and stay awesome.